you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, February 3rd, 2016, and I'm looking at the calendar. Jason, 64 days. I have the countdown. I actually started, I think, at about 77 days, the countdown to our April.
Does that mean you're on medication 7th. Now?
Probably need to be on medication. Pretty wound up. A lot of good things happening. Hey, do you get the News Gazette?
I don't.
Okay. Let me spring this one on you. I don't know if you knew about this. Did you know the Western Wall in Jerusalem? You've been there a number of times with me.
Oh, and I saw this. I saw this online.
Oh, you did? Okay. I thought that was an interesting story in yesterday's News Gazette under Nation and World that they're going to spend, apparently, was it like $8 million so that there can be, what did they call it, where men and women together could pray up at the Western Wall. And I know there's been a big push by the liberal, I guess the liberal Jews is how they're referring to certain people that want to see that opened up so that men and women can pray together up near the wall, whereas the Orthodox have been against that and some of the other different rulings. And it was kind of an interesting article, but you and I visited there a number of times, and I guess at some point in the future, if you and Tasha want to go up there together, you can do that then.
I have to think, just trying to understand the climate right around there and already the existing tension and things like that.
I
don't think it's going to go well. I really don't think it'll be a safe place to be, you know, men and women praying together. I just don't know.
Yeah, if you're unfamiliar with the Western Wall, also referred to almost in slang terms as the Wailing Wall, and that's because once a year when the Muslims oversaw that property, they'd only allow the Jews to go up to that wall once a year and pray, and so there was many times great weeping and tears. But people get it also oftentimes confused with, and even in this article, they refer to it as like part of the temple area during Solomon's time. It's only always been a retaining wall that King Herod built to kind of hold the mountain in place because of where the temple was located. And so these are just, if you will, retaining walls to keep the mountain in place. These are not any part of any kind of temple.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, I think, that oftentimes when the media spins some of this, they don't understand the geography of the area. They don't understand, you know, even when they talk about the Temple Mount, you know, where the Al-Aqsa Mosque is on there. It's not on the place that the actual temple sat, only a portion of it. And so the media doesn't offer the full picture. And so if you haven't been there and walked it and looked at it and seen it and been near there, it's disingenuous, in my opinion. It paints the wrong picture.
Well, how about, speaking of media, you watched something on Netflix the other day, and I was kind of intrigued. Oh, the Holy Grail, and how did that turn out?
Yeah.
And then when it got all said and done, it's like, what?
Yeah.
Well, anyways, so please be
Well, you know, I think that here's the thing, is that largely those people in the media who are trying to convey what Christianity is or trying to share some information regarding it are generally not Christians or really Christians in name only. Because you see, when you get people who go on, I've noticed recently the Albert Mohler's been on different news media outlets more than normal, I think, because he's become a very strong evangelical voice. And there's really a marked difference between, say, him and the other people on there who are part of the media establishment who would claim themselves to be Christians in terms of having an orthodox and, even more so and more important, a theological view. I mean, understanding things from a theological lens. Because as Christians, it's not enough to just say I'm a Christian as I engage culture, but we need to actually go to the Bible and see what the Bible says. What does God say about what's going to happen? And that up and above has to be more important. That's the theological lens in which we look at the world, in which we see how things are going to happen. I mean, we long for the end to racial injustice. We'll use that as a great example. We long for that to be done. But I don't believe until Jesus returns and until all nations and tongues and people and tribes swarm to the mountain of God, as Isaiah would call it, the great mountain, it's not till that day that all tongues and tribes and colors and all that will come together and be united again. That's why Jesus prayed for unity, because we would suffer a disunity. Jesus said it's a continual prayer. He prayed. He interceded to the Father that we would be one, because he knew that would be a real point of contention for us. And so while we pray for these things, and while I'm going to, as a Christian, push back darkness at every turn, every place that I can, I do know that, that I believe that some of these things I'm pushing back against will probably exist until Jesus comes back. And it won't get better, they'll get worse. Bible Study Fellowship, I could throw a plug out there. Bible Study Fellowship, the men meet on 6:45 at First Baptist Church of Savoy in Savoy, and studying the book of Revelation. As we're walking through the book
on
of
Monday
Revelation,
nights.
Monday nights, as we're walking through the book of Revelation, I'm going, it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. It doesn't get better. When the beast and the second beast rise up, and it's, you have this really kind of black and white moment where you've got the people who follow the beast and you've got the people who are in the book of life, and there's no gray area in the middle. There's no cultural Christians in the middle who are going, you know, well, I just sort of believe. I mean, that's not happening anymore. Now you've got this very black and white world where you've got Romans 1 people, and then you've got people who are Ephesians 2:8-9 who have been saved by grace. And there's no wiggle room in the middle anymore. There's none at all. And so, you know, that moment in the beginning of Revelation, you know, well, I wish you weren't lukewarm. There's no lukewarm anymore. There's no you're hot or you're cold. And so, you know, that moment, I don't know where we're at in terms of that moment coming.
Yeah.
You know, but I do think of Isaiah often, where Isaiah says, you know, truth has fallen and justice is. And just a scant few verses later, we have Isaiah 60, where it says, and the Lord arises. And that's that great final day. And so if 59 and roughly 15 or 16 holds true, we're only 4 or 5 verses from the moment that the Lord arises. And I don't know what the timetable is in terms of that. But I do know, this is what I do know, is that he's coming back in final victory. That's what I do know.
And we're on the winning team. Thank you, God. Because of God.
Yeah, all because of him. And I want to be real careful about, you know, kind of the pridefulness that might come with saying, well, we're on the winning team. But we're a part of the great witness who will stand and watch God as he manifests his glory amongst the world, as he makes himself known in such a way. I think, gosh, one of the verses in Revelation that just kills me is when John is there and he's witnessing the worship in Revelation, and he says, you know, and there's the scrolls, and they're going to open the scrolls, and he says, who is worthy? And there's no one who's worthy. No one is worthy except for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one who is worthy enough to be able to open those scrolls. And that's like the whole of the rest of the Bible, right? Who's worthy? No, not one. No, none is worthy. None is worthy. Isaiah, who I would clearly bow and say, you are much better than me, brother. Isaiah said his best stuff was filthy rags. Mm-hmm. Paul said of the sinners, I am chief. And so there is no one who's worthy other than Jesus Christ. So I don't know if it's about being on the winning team or being on the losing team. It's just about Jesus.
Well, I agree, and I'm glad you pointed that out, because when I'm thinking about being on the winning team, it's not because of anything I've done. It's because of all that he has done on our behalf. And so we can be confident and at peace about that, but it's entirely to his glory, his credit, his doing. And being on the winning team is just because he reached down and he chose us. And, you know, in our flesh, I don't think we would have even chose him. So again, he gets kind of the credit for even putting us on the team. We don't even get credit for being on the team.
No, because we were not. I mean, Isaiah paints that picture. We were not. I mean, we're
hostile to it.
Yeah, we are. We're very hostile to the gospel. And we even see that today. I mean, we see people who profess to be Christians, but they're hostile to God's word. They want to edit it and remove things from it and not be a part of it. But they would still claim to know God and to love God. And I mean, it's just that passage that in Romans chapter 1 that just keeps hitting me, that they knew God, but they neither worshiped him as God nor glorified him. You know, it's funny, Mark, when I was a kid, you know, and I wasn't a great Christian, I didn't get saved till I was in my 30s, but we went to church. It was a babysitting service for our folks. It was right down the street. You know, we'd go to the church and I'd see stuff, but I remember one time, it really struck me recently, I remember the pastor reading Romans 1, and I remember thinking, like, this is like a movie or something. It's like a dystopian kind of time. I mean, come on. I mean, really. I mean, just the way it reads out. I mean, how could that possibly, how could the world ever, you know, and this is in the 80s, so Reagan is president and things seem pretty good. And I'm thinking, how could it ever get like that? Like,
and how old are you at this point?
Oh, gosh, I have to be around 12, 13. Okay. And I'm thinking, this is like fiction. There's no possible way. And at the time, you know, I was not a follower of Jesus. I was not understanding the scripture. I was not growing in the scripture. I was just kind of at church. Kids went to church then, and so we kind of at church. But I just remember thinking, the Bible can't be true because this is like so far from reality. I mean, this is just like can't be real. And I read Romans chapter 1 today, and I think, oh my word, we are in it. We are in it up to our neck. I mean, there's any bit of it I can read and go, yeah.
A good reason to tune in for Founders Week today and tonight. No one like him. That's the theme of Founders Week message. If you've tuned in all week long, you're probably really being blessed by this Bible conference and what's happening up at Moody Memorial Church. Now, the day sessions, for those of you that can tune in to WGNN 102.5, 103.9, and 97.1 FM today at 9:30, it's H.B. Charles and Ann Volkskamp. They'll be two of the presenters, along with just the festive music and the worship time and all the things that make you feel a part of the Bible conference, because they have interactions. I think yesterday I heard they awarded one of the faculty members, you know, an award for all of her service. And so it's kind of a Bible conference that you can feel a part of through the radio. And then tonight at 7 p.m., basically 7 to 9, and if it goes over, 7 to 9:30. And that's why we've scheduled Dr. David Jeremiah's program at 9:30 in case Founders Week continues on WGNN. But Joe Stoll will be featured. So those of you that have been familiar with his ministry over the years, I'm sure he'll have a blessed presentation and a message, God-honoring, that'll probably challenge all of us. So that's tonight at 7 p.m., Founders Week, live. And for our WGNJ listeners, you can tune over to probably 102.5 FM, and the morning program of Mark and Friends is only going to be re-aired on 89.3, because tonight, Founders Week, will be live on WGNN. So tune in for Founders Week. And I just want to point out, for those of you that were tuned in for yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends, with my interview with Dan and Tricia Whitcomb, they're a part of the United Marriage Encounter Weekend, and there's a discount for those of you that will sign up next week during National Marriage Week. If you go to unitedmarriage.org, you can sign up for this weekend coming April 15th through the 17th for $60. And that covers two nights at the Hawthorne Suites in Bloomington, six catered meals, resources, snacks, and a weekend to make your marriage even better. It's basically valued at about $600, but because of past people that have attended and donations, they can underwrite many of the costs and encourage you to go. And that's $60 total for a husband and wife. Now, there will be a chance while you're there to make an offering or to pledge support so other couples can go in the future, but it's happening April 15th through the 17th. You can find out more at unitedmarriage.org. Holly and I attended last year and thoroughly enjoyed it, and it really helped open up dialogue and communication and husband and wife tools and techniques to better understand each other. And it was a fun weekend with a lot of learning. And so stop by unitedmarriage.org. Let's see, I mentioned 64 days till our big event. A lot of people are signing up. And if you haven't stopped by our website, greatnewsradio.org, please do. And RSVP your intentions to join us on April 7th as Dr. Lutzer is working behind the scenes to bring a great message to all of you. And then the next day, and this is because of you, Jason, you kind of had the idea, hey, as long as Dr. Lutzer's down here, and I'm really surprised I didn't come up with it because I live to create things and do things like this. But you said, if he's going to stay the night, why don't you put on maybe something the next morning for area pastors? And I'm like, why didn't I think of that? And it just made sense. And so he's agreed to stay over, and we're working that out. It looks like it'll be at 9 in the morning, continental breakfast. We're still working out some of the details, and we know the location and such, but we'll have a registration sign up, but we'll be encouraging area pastors and church leaders to attend. And it'll be a special continental breakfast with Erwin Lutzer on April 8th at 9 in the morning. More to say about that in the days ahead. So excited about that, our anniversary celebration. And if people do register online and RSVP their intentions to attend the April 7th event, there's a couple book offerings, two different editions. He will be the pastor. In fact, I have that copy somewhere here in the studio. There he is. He will be the preacher, The Story of God's Providence in My Life by Erwin W. Lutzer. And 1 Minute After You Die, those will be available for $7. And then for our radio listeners that are encouraged by the ministry of Dr. Lutzer, you can click on a box and they're going to bring down hundreds, many hundreds, depending on how many people want the book, Slandering Jesus. And so that's going to be free. We appreciate Moody Church Media that's going to supply those copies for our Great News Radio listeners to be picked up at our event on April 7th. So we won't be mailing those out. You have to come to our event. So RSVP while there's editions still available, and hope to see you and your friends and family members and colleagues and anyone you know to come out on April 7th, but RSVP. Hey, do you think all of us have a role as being missionaries? Is that like a setup? Could that ring your bell?
Well, sounds like you were at church this weekend.
Yeah, I wasn't using your credit card in Vegas or anything, just
you
so you know.
Doing that. Yeah. Yeah. Most of your listeners probably are going, what?
Yeah.
So I found out on Monday morning or Sunday evening after we had our Awana program to go get gas in my wife's car so it would be ready for Bible study the next morning when she went. She had to get gas first thing in the morning. And then I was getting kids' dinner at McDonald's.
Hey, man. That's a husbandry 101 tip. You know, John Jennings does that, and it's like, wow, he puts the bar kind of high. So you get the car all set, all gassed up, fueled
well,
up,
let's,
ready
let's
to
go. Well, let's just be honest. Let's have a moment of clarity here. Yeah. That means I didn't have to bring the kids in the house and get their coats off and their shoes and have to deal with all that.
Okay.
So
a trade-off.
Well, I mean, I'm just being honest. I was like, and I even, but I did say to her, I said, hey, would you rather I take the kids in or I go do the McDonald's? And she said, well, you know, you're better at the other thing. Like, you're better at the gas and the McDonald's. And I am. Like, when we go to McDonald's, my wife just goes, like, give me four of these, two of these, and one of these. I get up there, and I'm like, okay, what if we supersize this one, and we don't have to get that one with fries? What if we get this dollar thing? And so there's like a $5 or $6 difference between her order and my order, and roughly the same amount of food.
Yeah.
And so I'm just real frugal when I go there because I'm not a big McDonald's fan. I don't really like McDonald's that much. And so I don't like giving them any more money than I have to.
Sure.
It's just we're doing it because it's in a pinch, and there's really not a lot of other things in Muhammad. And so went to go use my debit card. It didn't work. Come to find out that someone was attempting to use it in Nevada on Sunday.
Yes.
And so my joke to everybody was that wasn't really me at church on Sunday. I was spending the weekend in Nevada.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess I was in Nevada. But are we all missionaries? That's an interesting question because I think we all are missionaries. Look, the greatest missionary is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the, bar none, the greatest missionary ever. He left heaven. He shed divinity and took on humanity and came so that he could preach the message of the gospel in such a way that it would touch us and it would change us, that he took 11 disciples and 500 roughly people gathered on a mountain and commissioned them, and they went forth and they did it. They took the greatest commandment and began to live that out through the Great Commission. And so,
and talk about that greatest commandment.
Well, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your brother as yourself. Now, that's an interesting one. We really don't have enough time to go through all of this, but that's an interesting one because in order to love God, I got to love God with my whole heart, my whole soul, and my whole mind. And why? Because who I am comes from God. I'm divinely made, wonderfully and beautifully made. So I need to know from God who I am. And I can't love others well unless I see them through God's eyes, because if not, I'm going to see them through my own presuppositions. I'm going to see them through my own biases. I'm going to see them through all that. And then I need to love myself. And why do I need to love myself? You can't love anybody unless you can love yourself. And this isn't kind of a selfish kind of self-loathing. This is just knowing, you know what? I'm beautiful. Yeah, I might be a little overweight. I'm beautiful, though, in God's eyes. I might be a little, you know, balding, but I'm beautiful in God's eyes. Society has painted us a picture of perfect that is so far from perfect that it is actually perfectly broken. And when it imposes itself on us, it breaks us. I mean, because we see pictures of what women should look like. And then we have young girls who are striving to be that, and they're starving themselves, and they're doing different things to try and look like something that is not even attainable. In fact, I saw a news article recently online that was fascinating. It showed like 10 magazine covers, and it showed it before and after. When they took the pictures and then showed it after they did what hit the newsstand. And the amount of airbrushing and computer wizardry that goes into changing these women, so much so, Mark, that they slim them down, they enhance parts of their bodies. And I mean, you just think about that and you go, you're not even being sold the real bill of goods on who this person is on the cover.
Mm-hmm.
You're being sold some airbrushed and glossed false representation of what you ought to be and can be. And look, we need to stop trying to get our self-image from a magazine stand or from the internet or from movies or from any of those things, television. We need to start to get that from God by getting our kids and getting ourselves into God's Word and realizing that we are wonderfully and beautifully made, that we've been called by God. So we need to live that. That's the greatest commandment, and we need to live that through the Great Commission. When Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and lo, I will be with you until the end of the age. Surely I will be with you until the end of the age." And I just love that, because that's what we got to do. We've got to take this knowledge of who God is, and we've got to bring it to the nations. We've got to go. And in our short, just a little bit of time left, the only thing that I would say about that I think is so misrepresented is the go. Because the go, we've put handles on that say, in order to go and be a missionary for Jesus Christ, you have to do this. You have to join a missionary organization. You have to go overseas. You have to do this. The go looks like this. And I don't believe that. I believe that the go in there has a lot of room to breathe. It has a lot of room. If you're a dancer, go dance to the glory of God. If you're an artist, go make art to the glory of God. If you're a teacher, teach to the glory of God. If you're gifted in radio, do radio to the glory of God. If you're a tradesman or a layman, if you are a stay-at-home mom, do that to the glory of God, because that's your mission field. God sends you where He desires that you would mission, where He desires that you would make impact for the gospel and for the kingdom. And I think that go has been so maligned that we're trying to send missionaries overseas. And you know what? Our communities need missionaries. Our communities need people who are willing to stand for the gospel, or willing to go, you know what? I'm going to go over here and talk to my neighbor and share the gospel with him and bring him something to eat. Some of us are so stinking ready to jump on a plane and go overseas to Africa or India or some other country, but we won't walk next door and minister the gospel to our neighbors.
What do they say? You're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good.
Yeah. I mean, really, because there's something romantic about getting on a plane. There's something romantic, almost Indiana Jones-esque, about going to another country and another people group and all that kind of things. And all the while, your neighborhood is going to hell, literally. Going to hell. I mean, just think about this for a second. Mark, you get me fired up when you do this. But just think about this for a second. You pull out of your driveway and you see your neighbors on both sides and you wave to them as you're leaving for work. And all the time you're waving to them, they are perishing. They're going to hell. And you look like a fool in your car waving to them while they're going to hell, because you won't walk in the next door and share the gospel with them. And sharing the gospel isn't having a Billy Graham evangelism crusade on your front lawn. It's getting a pie or getting a little cake or some cookies and walking over and saying, you know what, I just been praying for you guys. And, you know, we just really love being your neighbors. And we just like to figure out, how do we spend more time with you? You know, we were going to talk about it, but we didn't get a chance. And gosh, we're running out of time already. But we bought a smoker. And we have kind of this running thing at our house now. We call it Smoke Out Thursday. And purposely, I go out and I buy a bunch of meat.
This is tobacco-free, everybody.
Yeah, this is like a meat smoker. And so I go out on Thursday. Wednesday is when I go, and I go to Sam's Club or somewhere, and I buy a bunch of meat. And so I buy a big package of chicken breasts, or I buy two big chickens, or I buy a big pork loin, and I just smoke all of it. And it is 10 times more food than my family can eat. And then I just share it. Last week, we did some chicken breasts with some bacon wrap. We took some to a family that came home from a missionary trip. I dropped some off at another house of a friend. I dropped some off at another neighbor's. And I just go and take them out. And nobody wants to turn it down because it smells so stinking good. The week before that, we did pork loin, and we called one of our friends who's a police officer. He came over and had a cup of coffee and picked up a piece of pork loin. We gave some to somebody else. Just ways that I can go creatively. You know, God gave us the ability to have the smoker. And so, by gosh, I'm going to smoke meat to the glory of God and hand it out to my neighbors. And you know what? I'm going to share the gospel with them, because I don't want to be the guy who's waving as I leave the driveway. I mean, gosh, come on, people. Come on. God has gifted you and called you. And listen, if you love God, the most loving thing you can do is to tell people the truth. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life.
And all of God's people said,
amen. You can't get me fired up at the end of the show. Yeah, I mean, like at the end of the show.
SRN News, they're getting fired up now, too. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.